Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 29th of May, recording at 9:26 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. First, it was a reasonable day for stock markets. We had gains in Asia. The China sector was quite strong. And we also seesawed a little bit in Europe, started with some reasonable gains, mostly gave them up, and then closed with reasonable gains, several of them over 1%, including DAX and CAC, that's Germany and France. The exception seems to be the Spanish IBEX market, which was down another whopping 2.34%, and I think it's down over 9% on the month to date. In the Americas, Wall Street was quite strong early on, gains of about 1.5%. Then it gave up about two-thirds of that, but then firmed again towards the close, ending with the Dow up 126 points, the S&P up 14.5%. And a decent gain on the NASDAQ, so all over 1%. Long-dated government bond prices seesawed a little bit with stock markets, but then closed a little easier in Europe and the USA, a bit firmer in Japan. The U.S. dollar had eased a little bit early on, then it rallied, and then it gave up those gains on the U.S. dollar index, although it still managed to close out ahead against the euro, which fell down to 124.61, but is now trading at 125.08, and that's down 33 ticks. The Australian dollar 0.9855, and sterling slipped a bit further down to 156.40. And the Asian dollar index, despite the rally in the Asian markets, was a bit soft. Now, in precious metals, well, they had been quite firm at one stage in the mid-afternoon, and then as the dollar firmed and Wall Street gave up temporarily part of its gains, we saw sharp declines in the precious metals. For instance, silver, which is the most volatile, that had been up to 28.76, but it's now 27.86, and that's down 52. It has been lower. And gold itself had been up to 15.82.5, and then fell right back to 15.50. It's currently trading after hours at 15.57. Palladium did best, 606.55. That's up nearly 15, but 10 off the high. And platinum second best, 14.33. That's up 6.5, but it was up to 14.49. So it gave up most of those gains, gave them all up before closing out a little bit firmer. Crude oil quiet. We're at 90.90 on the WTI, and 106 and a little change, down slightly, down about 30 or 40 cents on the WTI. Natural gas a little easier. Grains and beans mostly easier. Particularly, well, the rough rice, especially wheat, and also corn, are weaker in here. Soybeans managed a tiny gain. Industrial metals mixed, but within that mixed grouping, copper 347.5, that was up 270. Industrial metals, yeah, I mentioned mix. So that's pretty much it. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets, as you know, had accelerated lower. in most instances. Now, these ranged from big declines in Europe, and some of those are still going on, i.e., Spain, to quite modest, normal, well within the normal sort of reaction type of moves on Wall Street, which just take it back to the MA or a fraction below, under 10% overall. And then some of the ASEAN markets had small reactions, and we also had a small reaction in China. So it's varied quite a bit overall. Now, let's take these Asian markets. Philippines has done best, and the ASEAN group, as I say, generally finding support around their 200-day moving averages. At least the commodity exporters among them are. That's the Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia, and Indonesia. So, small corrections overall, considerably smaller than what we saw last year, but a little bit climactic in that they also had some downward acceleration. The best action, I'm pleased to say, because it's a market I've liked here recently, the best of the action has been in China. China had a big upside to key day reversal yesterday, and it had great follow-through in here today. And it looks like that's putting in another lower high, I beg your pardon, another higher low. Let's say that again. It looks like it's putting in another higher low, in the sense that we had the that October low, and then we had another low a couple of months ago, and we've got another one this month. So that's impressive. It's still the Shanghai, I'm talking about the Shanghai A-share index, that still has not broken above the 2600, but it's only 100 points away from that now, and the pattern looks like it will be challenging that lateral resistance where the 200-day moving average crosses just below that level. And we have a couple of previous rally highs in that region. Now, you get a stain, or when, if we see, or I wouldn't put it on an if, when we see a sustained break above that 2600, and that could happen relatively soon, or perhaps just due to concerns over Europe. It gets delayed a little bit longer, but all the ducks are lining up positively for China, in my opinion. I've written about this again here today, but they include the easing that's taking place, and I put up the chart that shows that spread between the 10-year bonds in China and the 2-year bonds, and that's really quite interesting because those 2-year yields have been coming down quite sharply, and just indicating that this reflation is well and truly underway. My concern previously had been that China might leave it too long, but they're not. And it will be more of a targeted reflation than we saw back in fourth quarter of 2008. The estimates are that it'll be about the half the size of that massive reflation, and that would be appropriate. But again, I'll let you see that chart and what I've written about it, as it speaks for itself. So that's positive overall. The technical action is positive. The valuations are really quite attractive. And the upper dynamics that I mentioned for China yesterday and today, I mean, we saw replicated in Taiwan, terrific upward dynamics, South Korea, good move, less dramatic on Hong Kong and the HSCEI indices, which had fallen further. They tracked the Western markets, or more closely correlated with the Western markets, whereas China is less correlated with the Western markets. But it's interesting action, and what we can say is that in terms of sentiment, will be divided as to whether these are just minor lows that we've seen in the last week or so, or whether they're very important lows. I prefer to take it conservatively on the basis of our technical experience, and first repeat the point about downward accelerations. That's climactic activity. That is usually a signal of a low of at least near-term significance. And it could be a more important low. It could be a medium-term or longer low. We'll see what the technical action shows us. But what you know is, as long as these stock markets, and I'm not just talking about Asia now, but take Wall Street, take the better performing European stock markets, most of the markets around the world that have now lost downside momentum and shown a bit of a recovery, they would have to take out the recent lows that we've seen in the last week or so to negate current scope for an additional recovery. And while one would say, well, there's so much bad news around with all the concerns over the Greek election uncertainty and Spanish debt yields, which I hadn't mentioned in my introduction, but they're high, they're too high, they're about 6.45% on the 10 years. Lots, and the Spanish stock market's so weak, so much concern over the Spanish banks, there's plenty to worry about. But I don't think we need to worry about a China hard landing for sure, and I think very much, as I say, the ducks have lined up in favor of a China recovery. And I think investors have already, at least partially and probably substantially, discounted a exit by Greece from the euro, if not in the short term, over the medium term. My own guess on this is that it may just survive over the short term. In other words, stay in. They may just keep it in the euro over the short term. So there we are, and that leaves stock markets capable of a further technical rally while those lows hold. Now, precious metals. We had similar action to stock markets. These precious metals had been performing as risk assets. They also had accelerated downwards, but these were all part of corrections that really began last year, last April for silver, and last August and September for gold. So this has been a lengthy corrective phase, as I've discussed pretty well daily in these audios, and we're looking for signs of an ending, with silver and gold getting back down to the lows that we'd seen last September and also last December. Now, what we know is we've lost downside momentum. We've seen modest rallies up off those lows. That's the minimum of what one would expect. What we haven't seen is enough of we have not yet seen enough of a rally to signal short capitulation, short seller capitulation, and also self-feeding new demand. That may well emerge, but here too, the lows that we've seen this month need to hold if that is going to occur. And I think there's not an unreasonable chance that that will happen. And I do feel that at some point we are going to see the pendulum switch here on precious metals, where not only that they rally, but one of the reasons why they rally is that they are reassessed by investors and regain some of their former safe haven status, which we were certainly seeing during the first half of last year when all these European problems were also causing stock markets a considerable degree of anxiety. Precious metals were soaring higher at that time. Okay, among the precious metals, I mean, gold and its high beta variants, silver, a high beta proxy, silver, are the ones that are really regarded as monetary metals. I also regard platinum as a monetary metal, and platinum is at an historically low price against gold. And I don't think that's sustainable. Historically, platinum has tended to sell at a premium to gold, and currently it's about $125 below the price of gold bullion. And it's harder and harder to extract. Over 70% of the world's platinum comes from South Africa. With a number of these mines, they're having to go down to over a mile to extract this. It's incredibly hot down there. I can get up to the 70 degrees Celsius in those mines. So this is a difficult, expensive process. And there are some estimates saying that the average, or sorry, the break-even price on the average of in terms of the break-even price on platinum is about today's level, 1430. So there is a case to be made for production dipping a little bit if platinum stays where it is right now. There's also some recovery of scrap that's going on all along, but it's hard to envisage a ramp up of platinum production at these prices. That just won't happen. Now, if anything goes wrong in the supply chain regarding the infrastructure, utilities, power supplies within South Africa, that would quickly help to create a shortage overall, as would some investor demand. So if you're interested in precious metals and feel that you might wish to increase your coverage there, I think platinum bullion might be one of the ways to do it. What else here? The US dollar remains very firm overall. Quite interesting, the Asian currencies, despite the upper dynamics that we've seen in the last couple of days, the Asian dollar index is not among them. And CNY, the Chinese renminbi, has definitely eased against the US dollar here over the last couple of months in a way that we have not seen previously. That's quite interesting. Last year, strength of the Asian currencies became a problem for them. It's not a problem today. However, investors may be a little bit wary of going back into those markets, so while the currencies remain a bit soft. My overall view is that strong recoveries, China-led recoveries, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that during the second half of the year, that would firm up the Asian currencies once again. We will see. And other markets of interest, energy prices and the CCI index, I mentioned that downward dynamic, that's a continuous commodity index. That's getting back close to that psychological 500 level. It does represent overall a reset in terms of commodity prices. We have not seen quite the extent of a reset in crude oil as we had seen last year. It would take at least another $10 off the Brent and WTI prices to equal the resets that we saw in 2011, around this time. And So, interesting day. Let's see how far this stock market rally goes. But Wall Street's close tonight is unlikely to weigh on sentiment in Asia tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.